Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us today. If you have a Bible, grab it, and let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We're going to be in Paul's second letter to the church at Corinth, the fourth chapter this morning. And I want to begin with a question. How are you handling your stress? Right? Because all of us are feeling a pretty significant level of stress right now. And I'm just curious, how are you doing with it? How are you handling your stress? I hope that you're handling it better than the story of a man that I heard this last week, a man who a year ago was celebrating his 64th birthday. And apparently his coworkers had all gone in together to arrange for him to have the opportunity to fly in a French military jet as a passenger. And they were surprising him with this gift for his birthday. And the news story writes about it this way. It says, once the man arrived at the airbase in northeastern France in March of 2019, and realized what his coworkers had arranged, he began to feel extremely stressed. The unnamed man had never expressed any desire to fly in a fighter jet and had no previous military aviation experience. And thanks to a watch that he was wearing, which could measure his heart rate, investigators noticed that his heart was in full tachycardia before the flight, with a recorded heart rate of between 136 and 142 beats per minute. This was before they ever even got off the ground. And the story goes on. He gets in the jet, gets strapped in, and then when the jet had reached 2,500 feet above the ground and the pilot began to climb, the passenger panicked. And he reached for something to hold on to. Unfortunately, the something was the ejector seat button. And the 64-year-old flew from the fighter jet. To make matters worse, he had not securely attached his helmet, which went flying in midair. Fortunately, the man avoided serious injury after parachuting to earth in a field near the German border. I hope that however you're handling your stress, you're handling it better than that guy did. But let's face it, all of us can sort of relate to that experience, right? All of us can relate to that experience of fear and panic and reaching for something to hold on to, something we hope will be solid that'll get us through. And this morning, we want to think about the fact that all of us are experiencing those kinds of circumstances in very real and very serious kinds of ways. That all of us find ourselves right now in circumstances that cause the stress level to be really high. And that even though that globally we're going through this experience simultaneously, that in a very important sense, each of us experiences it individually, profoundly personally, because each of us have our own unique set of circumstances that create the kind of stress that we're feeling. And some of you I know are going through experiences that really have little or nothing to do with COVID-19. And yet you find yourself enduring great hardship, walking through a season of significant stress. And I think the question for us this morning that I want us to explore is how do we endure faithfully? When we find ourselves in a set of circumstances outside of our control, and we find ourselves in a set of circumstances where the stress is high, where the sense of fear is elevated, how do we endure? And this morning we're going to look at this passage from the Apostle Paul where he reflects upon his own experiences of struggle, of hardship, of pain and suffering. And he offers for us some insight that I think will help us as we seek to endure faithfully. This week we're in the second week of our Easter season sermon series that we kicked off last week on Easter Sunday, celebrating the resurrection. And we talked about the idea from John Paul II, who says, let us not abandon ourselves to despair. We are the Easter people, and hallelujah is our song. And over the course of these next 6 weeks, what we want to do is we want to explore what does it mean for us to be the Easter people? And how does that impact the way that we live our everyday lives? And this morning, I want to suggest that Easter people endure faithfully. That as Barbara Johnson has said, we are Easter people, but we're living in a Good Friday world. We're living in a world that's not the way that it's supposed to be, a world that's filled with brokenness and pain and struggle. But because of the resurrection of Jesus, we can find the resources that enable us to endure faithfully. And that's what we see in the life of the Apostle Paul. Now, before we read this text, I want to give you a little bit of the background. that Paul is writing the letter of 2 Corinthians to the church in Corinth who have begun to question Paul's legitimacy as an apostle. And part of that is that they're looking at Paul's life and they're seeing that this guy's life is a series of one unfortunate event after another, that Paul just has adversity and struggle constantly in his life. And the Corinthians have begun to look at that and to wonder, is this really an apostle of Jesus? Is this really a servant of God? Because if God was really with him, would God allow him to experience all of the pain and all of the hardship that Paul experiences? And Paul is going to write, and much of the letter is devoted to showing them that the whole pattern of his life and ministry follows the pattern of the gospel itself, follows the pattern of the life and ministry of Jesus, the pattern of suffering and vindication. Because Jesus suffered, he died a sacrificial death on the cross, but ultimately Jesus is vindicated through his glorious resurrection from the dead. And Paul says, my life and ministry follow the pattern of the gospel, suffering and vindication. And you shouldn't expect it to be any different for you. And so with that in background, we read the words of the Apostle Paul in chapter 4, verse 7. Paul says, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that this life may also be revealed in our mortal body. So then, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. Now this us and you that Paul talks about at the end of this paragraph, the us is himself and his ministry companions, the you are the Corinthians. And Paul is saying, we are experiencing these circumstances that look and feel a lot like death, suffering, in order to bring you life. And so Paul's saying this pattern of the gospel is reflected in my life and ministry. And the way that he begins this whole section, he introduces a metaphor. He says, we have this treasure in jars of clay. Now, the treasure that Paul is talking about here is the treasure of the gospel itself. The good news that Jesus has come into the world, that he has lived a life of perfect obedience to the Father, that he's died a cruel but sacrificial death, but he's been resurrected to a glorious new life. And that because of this, that we see that Jesus is the true and liberating King who has come to rescue and renew God's good but broken creation, and that he invites us into his kingdom of love forever. This is the treasure, Paul says, but that this treasure is carried around in jars of clay, in ordinary clay pots. Paul is using that metaphor to describe himself and his companions. And it's his way of saying that they are fragile and that they're expendable. Paul says, I'm fragile. I am weak, like that clay pot that is easily broken. Paul says, there's nothing about me that indicates that the strength to endure comes from within. It's not because I'm so strong that I'm able to face all of this adversity. Paul says, the power, the strength to endure comes from outside of me. It's from God and not from us, because I'm fragile. And Paul says also, I'm expendable. That Paul recognizes ultimately, God doesn't need me to accomplish his purpose. That this is the Apostle Paul who, arguably, apart from Jesus himself, is the person who impacts the world with the gospel more than any other in the first century. And yet Paul says, God doesn't need me. I'm expendable. God can accomplish his purposes throughout me, without me, but he's chosen to use me as a vessel. A mere vessel, a jar of clay that holds a great treasure. And what Paul's saying to the Corinthians is, don't look at the vessel. Look at the treasure. And then Paul goes on to set up the series of contrast. We're hard-pressed on every side, but we're not crushed. We are perplexed, but we're not in despair. We're persecuted, but we're not abandoned. We're struck down, but we're not destroyed. And before we think about each of those contrasts, I think it's important just to recognize that Paul is very honest and very realistic about the fact that the Christian life is filled with struggle. It's filled with pain. That Paul doesn't pretend for a moment that the gospel can be reduced down to life gets better with Jesus. And there were in his day and are in our day some who would, I think, seek to reduce the gospel down to that kind of triviality. Life gets better with Jesus. And Paul knows that even though in a very real and deep sense, life does get better with Jesus, he also knows sometimes life gets harder with Jesus. That faith in Jesus doesn't mean that we always only have good circumstances in our lives. That if the gospel really was just the message that life gets better with Jesus, there are some of you whose circumstances would cause you to legitimately question the truth of the gospel. But Paul doesn't pretend for a moment that life just gets better because we're followers of Jesus. Or that if we just believe enough, that if we just have enough faith, all of our problems go away. Paul says that's not the pattern of his life at all. He says we are hard pressed, but we're not crushed. Paul says there is a pressure that is on my life, a pressure that comes from the circumstances that I'm under. And that pressure is real. But Paul says, though the pressure is real, it will not crush me. Paul says that we are perplexed, but we're not in despair. He's honest about the fact that there are times and circumstances in our lives that we're filled with all kinds of confusion, all kinds of questions, that we look around and go, God, where are you? God, how could you let this happen to me? And that sense of being perplexed is very real, that the confusion is real, Paul says. But it will not break me. And will not break my faith. And he says, we're persecuted, but we're not abandoned. That Paul knew what it meant to face opposition. That Paul had times in his life where people were throwing rocks at him, trying to kill him. That Paul endured beatings, that he endured torture, that he endured imprisonment for the sake of the gospel. Paul knew what it meant to face opposition. And Paul says, the opposition is real, but it will not stop me. And then finally, he says, we're struck down, but we're not destroyed. And the word that Paul uses here, it's a strong word to talk about being pummeled to the point that you fall to the ground. Paul says, I know what it's like to experience pain. And the pain is very real, but it will not destroy me. Paul says, the pressure is real, but it will not crush me. The confusion is real, but it will not break me. The opposition is real, but it will not stop me. And the pain is real, but it will not destroy me. And Paul can have that kind of confidence that he can endure those kinds of circumstances because of his conviction about the resurrection of Jesus. And that's what he goes on into beginning in verse 13. He continues, it is written, I believed, therefore I have spoken. Since we have that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak. Because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us up with Jesus and present us with you to himself. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Now, Paul starts this paragraph saying, I believe, therefore I've spoken. This is a quotation from Psalm 116 in the Greek translation of Paul's day. This would have been the common translation available to Christians in the first century. And Paul's expectation is that his hearers are going to know this psalm, not just this little phrase that he pulls out, but know the psalm in its entirety. And what you find is that this psalm actually is a psalm that's all about the psalmist experiencing this pattern of suffering and vindication, that the psalmist has gone through a series of events that have caused him great pain, great hardship, that he's endured much struggle, and yet God has lifted him up. God has vindicated him. And so the psalmist says, because I've experienced this vindication from God, I can't stop talking about it. And Paul is saying that's the same in his life as well. Because of what he's experienced, as a result of the resurrection of Jesus, that Paul can't stop talking. And he says in the middle of that, we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus. That all this confidence that Paul has to be able to endure rests on his confidence in the resurrection, both Jesus' resurrection and his future resurrection. And so Paul can say that the pressure is real, but it will not crush us. Paul can say that the confusion is real, but it will not break us. And the opposition is real, but it will not stop us. And the pain is real, but it will not destroy us. Paul can say all that because of the resurrection, because we are the Easter people. And then he goes on in the last paragraph of this chapter and offers us what I think is kind of the payoff of all this, that gives us some insights that I believe can help us to endure what we're going through. Verse 16, he says, therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. I think in these final sentences here, Paul gives us three things that are helpful for us to endure whatever it is that we're facing. He gives us a reality, a perspective, and a practice. And the reality is captured in these words where he says that outwardly we're wasting away, but inwardly we're being renewed day by day. That this is the reality of the work that God is up to in our lives. That even though we face external circumstances, that what people see on the outside of us is pain and struggle and suffering. And even though we find ourselves in bodies that are prone to decay and that are ultimately moving always closer and closer to our mortal death, that Paul says, even though all of that is true on the outside, on the inside, God is working renewal in us. God is building us up in the midst of it, one day at a time. That even though our outward circumstances look like they're moving toward death, our inward reality is moving towards life. And this isn't just the sense of, you know, that we're going to go to heaven when we die, that God is building strength in us here and now to be able to endure. That I think that Paul is suggesting here that God is birthing new strength, forming new strength in us, even as we experience times of struggle and pain and suffering. My dad had this phrase that he used to use that's become for me kind of a theme of my life. He would say, from the struggle comes the strength. And I now use that a lot in my preaching and teaching. I use that with my kids to help them have some perspective as they're going through difficult circumstances. From the struggle comes the strength. And even though I heard my dad say that time and time again, it wasn't until those last few months of my dad's life, as he was going through his battle with cancer, that I really saw the truth of that statement played out. That I saw in my dad a new strength being forged as he was enduring that which was the most difficult, challenging set of circumstances that he'd ever faced. And I can look back now, 21 years later, and I can see that truth was at work in me too. That in the midst of that which was the most painful, the most difficult set of circumstances that I'd ever faced, God was forging new strength in me. And that even now I recognize that I am the man that I have become, that I am the pastor that I have become. I am the husband and the father and the friend that I've become because of what God was forging in me in that set of incredibly difficult circumstances. And maybe you need to hear those words for your life in the midst of these circumstances. From the struggle comes the strength. That even though outwardly we're wasting away, that inwardly we're being renewed day by day, that God can use these circumstances to forge new strength in us. Then Paul offers a perspective. He says, "For these light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all." And Paul offers here an eternal perspective. And I got to be really honest with you. For a long time, I really disliked this verse. I frankly really resented this verse. That there was something inside of me that just rose up when I heard these words that kind of said, how dare he call my suffering and my struggles light and momentary troubles? It felt like a dismissal of the very real pain that I'd experienced. But what I've come to appreciate is that Paul doesn't actually call my struggles, my suffering, light and momentary. That here in this passage, in the context, he's talking about his own. He's talking about his struggles, his suffering. And he says, we have experienced these things, but they are for us light and momentary troubles. And Paul doesn't say that to say they aren't real. He doesn't look to his circumstances and go, that's no big deal. But what he does is he looks at those circumstances. He looks at that pain. He looks at those struggles. And he says, in comparison to the great eternal glory that awaits us, these things are light and temporary. There's nothing by way of comparison to the greatness that awaits us. Light and momentary. That Paul says our pain, our struggles are real, but they're temporary. And that we need that eternal perspective to be able to endure faithfully. Paul offers us this reality. Out on the outside, we're wasting away, but on the inside, we're being renewed day by day. He offers us perspective, eternal perspective, that in comparison to the glory that awaits us, that these things are light and momentary troubles. And then we come to the last, and he says, "And so we fix our eyes on what is seen, not on what is seen, but on what is unseen." Paul gives us, I think, a practice, the practice of fixing our eyes on Jesus. And this was what the author of Hebrews suggested when he uses the metaphor of life like a race, that he says, "Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus." And Paul is kind of playful here with this idea of fixing our eyes on things that we can't see. What he's getting at is the idea of what's taking up the attention of our heart and our mind. Where is our attention focused? And I think that's a good question for us as we go through all the things that we're going through right now, is where is your attention focused? What are the eyes of your heart fixed upon? On your circumstances? On the 24-hour news cycle? The constant barrage of Facebook posts? What is occupying your attention in these days? Paul says, for us to endure faithfully requires us to focus on the unseen. It requires us to fix our eyes on Jesus. You know, I think about these words from Paul, and then I step back and I look at my own circumstances. I see the reality play out in my life, that God is forging new strength day by day, even in the midst of adversity. I look at the circumstances of my life and I can see that in light of eternity and the glory that awaits us, that my troubles now are light and momentary. And I see that the only way that I can endure in faith is to fix my eyes on Jesus. And that when we do that, we, with Paul, can say, the pressure is real, but it will not crush me. The confusion is real, but it will not break me. The opposition is real, but it will not stop me. The pain is real, but it will not destroy me. Because we are the Easter people.